One Beat. It's an international music exchange that brought together young musicians from all around the world. We're not only going to hear from some of the people involved in the project, we're also going to hear some of the music that they produced together this fall. It is a special sneak preview of some of this music because it hasn't even been released out into the world. So stay tuned. We'll be back in a moment.
One, one, two, we about to turn this out. One, one, two, we about to turn this out. One, oh, let me get comfortable. I said, oh. I said, oh. I said, oh. I said, oh.
And we're back. You just heard the beginning of one track and then another track produced this fall of a project called One Beat. We have with us today on the phone, we have one of One Beat's co-directors, Christopher Marionetti, and we also have Hudson-based production manager Gideon Crevache to tell us a little bit about the project. And I have to say, I'm really curious because the tracks that we just heard were kind of out there and yeah. Very cool. Chris, can you hear us right now?
Yeah, hello.
So before I do a kind of warped introduction, maybe you could tell us what One Beat was, what it is, and give us some context.
Sure. Well, One Beat is a new international cultural exchange program. It's actually a brand new initiative of the U.S. Department of State. This is the first year. This was the first. That was the first year of the program, it's a month-long exchange. There are about 30 musicians that come from. This year is from 21 different countries around the world, and they came together. And there were two parts to it. There was a residency period, and then there was a tour period. So for about 15 days, we all got together in Central Florida, and we collaborated musically. You know, we worked on various tracks. We worked on kind of putting up different ensembles together. We recorded together, and then we prepared a bunch of material, and then we took that on the road for 2 weeks, touring up the East Coast. And there were a lot of, you know, part of the whole experience was stopping in. You know, when we would stop in a town, would be doing workshops with young people, going out to high schools, you know, doing kind of public performances, doing kind of like art music installations in various settings. So that's the project, in a nutshell.
And how do you describe the musicians that participated? Who are they?
Well, they're incredible. They're an incredible group. I mean, they're from all over the world, really. So you have a real diversity of people. You know, you have a rapper from Senegal. You have a goumbri, it's an instrument from Tunisia. A player came. There was a cuatro player, a four-stringed instrument from Venezuela. You know, a Russian glitch pop DJ. So it was incredibly diverse. I mean, and that was one of the, I think, most fun things about the experience, was you just had these musicians playing all these different styles, all these different, coming from all these different backgrounds and genres. And then adding on top of that, the kind of cultural element, people coming from, you know, just such a vast background of cultures, that it was really exciting.
And Chris, who are you, and how do you describe the sort of behind the scenes? Who put this whole thing together?
Well, we, I mean myself and there's another co-director, Jeremy Thal, and Ellen and Moon Park. And then a kind of a team of people. We are collectively a group called Found Foundation. And Gideon has been, Gideon's been with us. Hey, Gid.
Hello, Chris.
Gideon has been with us for a couple of years now. And, you know, as a team, there was a staff of about 12 or 13 people, ranging from actually an ex-student that we had worked with in the Bronx, you know, to... he was in a hip hop and an MC, you know, to the older members of the staff who are like, you know, older producers like Devin Greenwood. He'll kill me for saying he's old, but, you know, you know, in their 30s, kind of more established. You know, and the staff of about 12 or 13 of us were the ones to really produce the festival. And it, you know, it took an entire year of working on this thing to pull it off, but, you know. We're back on it again for next year now. So,
I'm so curious to hear about how you put the word out, what kind of outreach you had to do in order to get applicants from Senegal, from the list of places that you listed before.
Yeah. Well, it was actually surprising in some ways just how the kind of folks we were able to reach with social media, actually. You know, through Facebook and whatnot. We did a fair amount of work with the embassies, like local embassies in each of the, there were actually 40 countries that we were kind of drawing folks from. And they helped put the word out to various kind of local arts organizations. You know, we did reach out to arts organizations in our kind of network in all of those countries, but I feel like with, you know, it was a free application. You know, we built an entire kind of application site and review site for it online, so it was free and people could apply online. And, you know, with the social media, with sites like Facebook and Twitter and whatnot, it was really spread quite quickly, and we had, you know, several thousand people register, you know, kind of in the span of a couple weeks to register for the program. So it was, we were, you know, it was quite amazing, the numbers of folks.
Chris, I was wondering if you could just talk a little bit about what the role, well, sort of the goal that One Beat was trying to accomplish and what the State Department, what their role was in that goal.
Sure. Well, you know, I mean, a lot of people, when they hear about One Beat and it being sponsored by the State Department, are a little shocked. And, you know, I think maybe some of that is justified because, just because we're so cool. Some of that is justified because, you know, the State Department sponsoring this type of program, you know, isn't folks aren't always expecting it to be something that an arts venture and a kind of an artistic diplomacy, they call it, to be sponsored by the State Department. But on the other hand, there's a long tradition of kind of arts diplomacy to the State Department. The early years of the, you know, a lot of jazz musicians being sent abroad. So there is a rich kind of history there. I think what's different about One Beat is that instead of kind of sending and exporting master American musicians abroad, what we're doing is we're really bringing folks who are masters and who are, you know, rising stars in all these countries, bringing them to America for a collaborative exchange, you know, in an environment where it's very open and where there are a lot of master, you know, musicians kind of present. And, you know, I think that, you know, on a larger level, you know, is kind of what we're all about in our organization, Sound Foundation, you know, is kind of bringing people from various cultures together just for transformative experiences, for artistic music-making experiences. That's what we as an organization have been doing for the last, you know, 5 or 6 years. And really, this was an opportunity where it was such an amazing kind of alignment with what we're doing and what the State Department was interested in, where we could really do that on a larger scale and I think a very effective and powerful way, you know, to create that network of folks and that network of musicians. So,
you know, Chris, Giddy and I are going to be spending the next chunk of this radio show actually listening to some of the music that came out of this exchange. But I am curious, while we have you on the line, in the name of this sort of diplomacy that you're talking about, did everybody get along?
Good question.
You know, that was one of the biggest worries. That was one of our biggest concerns because we essentially selected these people. I mean, there was a long selection process, but it was kind of blind in some sense. You know, we didn't meet people, we didn't meet any of the applicants before they came. So we were concerned about that. But, you know, apart from, I think the astonishing thing for me was just that apart from the little squabbles here and there, the group really, really gelled. It was amazing. You know, when one of the secretaries, Ann Stock, came to visit, she was, I think, also just amazed at the energy that the group felt together. There really was a cohesion, a cohesive energy that came about. You know, I don't know if it was the bus or like the residency, the late nights at the residency, or the, you know, I think the biggest element being music that is bringing everyone together and then sharing that music. But we really became a little family, and I think folks are still really actively keeping in touch with each other, which is what's beautiful about it. You know, when something happens in the world now, folks from all over, you know, in the One Beat family from the various countries, kind of all, we all check in with each other, you know, mostly through Facebook, and make sure folks are okay if something happens in the world or if someone releases a new record, you know. So it really did become a beautiful little family, I'd say. So.
Well, Chris, thank you so much for joining us. We're going to listen to some of the music now.
Sure.
It was a pleasure to have you on the air with us.
Thanks so much, Chris.
Thank you. My pleasure.
All right. Go see ahead. You later. So we're going to now listen to a piece that was recorded while we were on tour. This tour that Chris was talking about went from Florida all the way up the East Coast, ending in New York City. And this was recorded in Floyd, Virginia. It features Piotr Kurek from Poland, Veronika Partyka from Poland, Wei Wei from China, Song-hee Kwan from South Korea, Aditi Bhagwat from India, Sri Joko Raharjo from Indonesia, and Yumna Saba from Lebanon. And this is a piece that they wrote in the residency, the two-week residency that we had in Florida, in New Smyrna Beach. This is called Choa, and this is a little excerpt.
Da-di-ding-da-go, 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 da-di
Yeah, that's quite a journey there.
You know, I have really hated the term fusion when people talk about music genres.
Me as well.
But I can't imagine how you would describe what we just heard.
Yeah, well, it's a difficult task.
If you think about the terroir of what we just heard, you could name a lot of different places in there.
A lot of places, a lot of genres. There's a lot going on. And you heard some electronic experimental music going on, as well as some traditional pansori singing from South Korea over top some singing from Indonesia and singing in Arabic, saxophone, a lot going on. And I mean, this is a great example of first not knowing what we were getting into and then seeing what happened, what came out of that process.
And you said that was recorded live? That was
recorded live in Floyd, Virginia in an afternoon, and we had a little extra time and it just happened.
Gideon, I didn't give you a totally proper introduction when we started, and I just do want to note you were part of the project. You were one of the production managers on the project. So that means you were working with...
It means I was running around with my head cut off for 5-6 weeks. Just making sure that everything worked technically. But
one of the reasons I was excited to broadcast some of this music and hear you and Chris talk about the project is because it doesn't seem like a coincidence to me that One Beat and the kind of work that was happening around One Beat has a connection to where we are here in Hudson and in the Hudson Valley, because I know that part of the reason you're here is because you're a musician and this happens to be a particularly collaborative environment to be making music in. And I just think it's interesting you as a local musician being involved in something like this that extends in all directions into the world, and then that you could sit on your local community radio station and talk about it.
Yeah, no, it's great to be able to bring it back here, and there's a lot of collaboration that happens in this community on many levels, and it's well put.
So for people who are just tuning in, we're talking right now about One Beat. It was an international music exchange that happened this fall, just sort of wrapped up a couple months ago. Gideon, what should we listen to next?
So I think I'm going to play, this is a rough mix of a song that was written by Anton Sergeyev, who's from Russia, and he wrote it with Chance McCoy, who people out there might know from Old Crow Medicine Show. He was one of the fellows. We had a few fellows from the United States as part of this tour, and Edward Ramirez from Venezuela, and Domenica Fossati on flute. And so this is a more popular version of what came out of this project. So here, this was... So that was a song from One Beat called Come On, and that was written by Anton Sergeyev from Russia with a collaboration Edward Ramirez from Venezuela, Chance McCoy from the U.S., and Domenica Fossati also from the U.S. And we now have one of the fellows live on Skype calling from, she's calling from Budapest. This is Vera Jonas. And are you on the line, Vera?
Yes, I'm here.
Hello. It's good to hear your voice.
It's so good to hear your voice, too.
So you're live on WGXC in the little town of Hudson, New York. And we wanted to just ask you a few questions and hear about your experience with One Beat. So actually, if you could start by just telling us a little bit about how you heard about it.
Yeah, sure. So I was born and raised in Budapest, and I'm a musician too. I sing and I play guitar and I play some live electronics. And actually, two of my friends sent me an email with the link of One Beat with the application, and they both wrote in the email, "Vera, this is for you. So you should definitely apply." And I was like, "Wow, why?" And this program is about community and music at the same time. And I've been doing a lot of community work in the past. I've been participating in a couple of NGOs, and then I just applied and I put everything I've done in the past in my application with the NGOs and the anti-discrimination work I've been doing and the community work that I've been doing, and also the music that I wrote and played and performed. And then I just got accepted, and I was very surprised and very happy. And for months, it didn't really sink in. It only started sinking in like a month before the program that I'm actually going, and I'm actually going to meet this amazing group of musicians. And then I started to listen to their work, and I was completely blown away, and I was so psyched to be part of this. And I'm still very excited to be in touch with everyone from the group, and we're so strong together, even we are in different parts of the world today.
Yeah, it's incredible how this has created a family, really, truly. And Chris was talking about that earlier. So can you tell us, we had prepared a little bit beforehand, and you said that this experience had some profound impact on your life, and I just wanted to hear you talk a little bit about that on air.
Yeah, well, absolutely. I mean, when I came home, it was very difficult to express the emotions that I brought home. When I came home and when I was talking to my family and my friends, and they all asked me how it was and what happened, I just told them to go on the website and look at the pictures and look at the videos. So people who are listening now, I would strongly recommend to first go on the website after this.
Which is the number 1beat.org, 1beat.org.
And check out the videos and the pictures, because those are the ones that can explain what we've been through. And people who are listening to this, the only way I can explain this is if they try to imagine 32 musicians coming together from different, completely different parts of the world, just meeting randomly and connecting at the first second of arrival, like jet lag, completely tired and exhausted. And from the first minute we met, we just played until the very last minute of the whole program. We just blew up completely. I like, in the interviews that I've been doing and when I had to think through this experience over and over and over again, was that the reason why it changed my life is because for the first time I felt like I had no boundaries whatsoever in expressing myself musically or in any way, because every note, every sound, every melody was relevant. And it was amazing. I learned so much from other cultures and other types of music and other instruments, and we just brought everything we had and we created something completely new with open minds. And that sounds very trivial and very, you know, easy to understand in a way, but when you're experiencing this, the weight of that power is enormous. Because we just felt that everything's possible. It's completely possible to put an Indonesian instrument together with an electronic loop pedal, with an American fiddle, and create something completely new, not something that you've heard before, and it made complete sense. And at the same time, we didn't have to talk about how different we are. The other thing that was so amazing in this program that the organizers, they chose 32 completely different people. And, you know, I think the world that we live in, I feel that we are often pointing out differences among us. You are different because you're like this, you eat that, you look like that, you play like this. You say that we have all these points that differentiate between us. And one beat brought it together in a way that, yes, we're all different, but this is the thing that makes us all the same, that we have all the emotions that is connected to our music. And that made us a family. That brought us together in the first second because we're so psyched and so happy to be together and to play.
Yeah, and as you say, it has implications.
I'm so full of emotion now.
You're so full of emotion. Oh, it's so good to hear you talk about it. And
it is really cool to hear because, you know, we're playing some of the music that you all produced together. We're broadcasting that right now, and it's so cool to hear about to hear some of the voice behind the experience. It doesn't sound at all trivial.
No, it doesn't sound trivial. And so, do we have? Do we have any more time? No, we have to keep on going. I'm afraid this is the end, Vera.
Vera,
of this
thank
section.
You so much for joining us.
Thank you so much. Yeah. Thank you.
You have transmitted your the inspiration that you felt, at least into the studio, maybe over the airwaves.
I hope so. I really hope so.
Thank you.
Thank you so much,
thank
Vera.
You.
Talk to you soon.
Thank you. All
right. Bye bye. So. That was Vera Jonas from Budapest, Hungary, one of the One Beat Fellows.
Gideon, you were saying just before she came on the air that you guys have hundreds of hours of produced music and you don't necessarily know how it's going to be released yet or
yeah,
what.
Exactly.
But I do think if people are interested in what they're hearing and want to learn more about the program or want to apply for next year, how do people learn more?
Well, if people go to the website, numberonebeat.org. There's a plethora of information and videos and some sound clips and photos. And the application will be posted there soon. I'm not exactly sure the date, but it will be soon.
And will you keep the WGXC listening audience in the know when there's music we can find somewhere?
Yeah, and there will be a lot of it coming through the pipeline.
I'm feeling this like emotional welling from Vera's
I know,
testimony.
She's wonderful, really, really wonderful.
Will you play another song for us as we go out?
Yeah, so I'm trying to decide which one to play, but I think I'm going to play a pretty upbeat one. This is a trio of percussionists, Daphnis Prieto from Cuba, who is a collaborating artist who came in to lead workshops, John Baron Thomas from Haiti, and Parfum Zola from the Democratic Republic of Congo.
And Gideon, thank you for joining me also to curate some of this hour.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me. Here you go.